101.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. It's December 26, 2022, to be rebroadcast on WHUS 91.7 FM on December 28, 2022. Welcome to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch. There she is. Hey. If you are listening on Facebook Live, please feel free to comment. I may be able to respond, and Fran will probably be able to respond. Bicycle Talk is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle advocacy, bicycle culture, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show, you can make a comment below right here on Facebook Live, or you can send me an email if you're listening to this on podcast at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. We're recording our shows on Monday now using Facebook Live and then playing them at our normal times on Wednesday at 11 a.m. at WHUS 91.7 FM. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on WHUS.org, iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast outlet. Ron's rant of the week. Hey, it's almost the end of the year. That's not really a rantable thing, but it is almost the end of the year. And this lovely Christmas present came from the Hartford Courant on December 25th. And the lovely Christmas present was written by Mike Mavridakis, who is apparently a writer for the Hartford Courant. And the article is Pedestrian Fatalities at the Highest Rate in Connecticut in Over Three Decades. That's what the data shows. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in the show, because that's definitely rantable. And let's see, what else do I have? Ah, the positive side. Always a shout out to Billy Too Tall Jew Jack and to Laura Mullaly, who posted a really nice Facebook post. She looks great. I know she's been through a lot, but she is, she said, the accident that keeps on giving. I don't know if I'd call it an accident, Laura. Whatever. We don't like to get into that accident definition when it comes to a bicycle incident. I like to call them more incidents than accidents. Anyway, you know, big shout out to you. You're looking good. Got to see you at Nationals. Great. Awesome. Cool stuff. You'll be back on that bike sometime soon, I'm sure. Okay. And let's see, what else do I have here? How were your holidays? Happy Boxing Day, Fran.
Thanks.
Yeah. Federal funding bill contains $45 million for new active transportation program. Hey, what do you think? That's lovely. So, Chris Squires is calling, but I can't pick up the phone, Chris. You're going to have to call me back. So we're just going to kind of kick you out at the moment, put you into voicemail. I want to shout out to, also on that new active transportation program, there's lots of earmarks for trails, complete streets, and more. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in the show. We'll get to that. Let's see, what else do I got here? Oh, shout out to listener and follower, not to mention avid cyclist Tom Ferciano from Arizona, who 5 days ago woke up celebrating the 14th anniversary of the morning Dr. Gazul, yes, that was his name, fired up his chainsaw and performed a quadruple bypass on him. He did a 62-mile bicycle ride. This would have been 4 days ago. All systems pretty much a go at 69 years of age. La vida è bella. Life is beautiful. Yay, Tom. Good thing. Awesome. So, yeah, there is life after quadruple bypass. I am living proof of that. Apparently, Tom is living proof of that. We are still here to go on and do the things that we do day after day. Kevin Mahan is another one of those who is listening right now with us, and he is another one on the magical list. Billy is on the magical list. It just seems like that we're starting a regular club here, the Zipper Club. Oh. Yes, sirree. What a good time. Not one I was intending on joining, but then again, because of the fact that I ride my bicycle a lot, I was told that my bicycling activity over the years literally saved my life. So, you know what? That's why I end every show with Ride your bike. It could save your life. It's all true. So anyway, big shout out to Tom out in Arizona. Cool. Thanks for listening. Thanks for posting. Really appreciate it. So we'll have a little bit more in the show about the federal funding bill. I'll get back to that in a moment. I'm going to go on to our mechanical minute and cycling tip. Daylight goes away fast during the winter season. Yeah, I guess we know that, right? And biking at night can be very dangerous, especially with the colder weather. Whether you're biking for fun or for transportation, always wear lights and reflective clothing in the dark. There will be more in the show, and it will be seen after dark what clothes you can help keep you safe. So let's go on to the content of the show. First, we're going to start with best cycling events of 2022. What a year! Oh my God. The best Grand Tours ever. The Giro, the Tour de France, the Vuelta, the Cyclocross Nationals in Hartford, Connecticut. I had a good year. I had a really good year. Really good year watching what I love the most, getting a chance to, you know, see the new and hot talent that's coming into the professional cycling scene. You know, there were just so many cool things about 2022. And so, not to mention finishing it off with the Cyclocross Nationals in Hartford, which I had a blast at. And I know a lot of other people did too. As always, it's a great time. We will get into a few other things here too. I'm just trying to see what order I should go for this. We'll go back to all this fun stuff. So there's an article here from Bicycling Magazine, and it's what year-end data from Strava says about cyclists. These are highlights, including how riding together affects our motivation and hints about future commuting of commuting by bike. All right. So we're going to go poke around at that one and see what we can find.
My Strava said you did a lot of yoga this year.
Yeah, did it? Mm-hmm. Did it? Well, you did a lot of yoga this year, Franny. You really did. You spent a lot of time on the mat doing your thing, which is great. It's a great thing. It's good for you. It's even better for me. Huh? Ha! I said it. It's all true. When Fran does yoga, Ron is happier. It definitely works. So this article, which was in Bicycle Mag,
why don't you elaborate on that?
No, I'm not going to elaborate on that. I'm not going to do that. I'm gonna let all those out there who are chuckling right now use their imagination.
Well, you can say it in a nice way. Say, what changed about me that makes you say that? That's a good thing for people to know, especially in the cycling community.
When Fran is doing yoga, Fran is much lower key. She's much more relaxed, and she's easier to be around. I guess that's probably the best thing I can say.
Am I cheerier? Am I less anxious?
You're less anxious, okay. For sure. Right. Definitely less anxious. Right. And you know, that is a bit of your makeup, so yeah. It definitely helps there for sure. So, and you just seem happier overall.
Yeah.
Which is good. So let's hear it for that yoga. And what is it? Let's see. It's what do you call it? Yin yoga?
Yes.
Is that the one that you do that you do before bed at night or before we eat dinner at night?
I feel like it.
Or whenever she feels like it. Yeah. But it really just seems very, very calming. And I think there's a lot to be said about this. And I'm going to explore it a little bit more this year in 2023 because we are going to be moving forward here. I am, because I am teaching a SPOGA class at the community center, which is a combination of spin and yoga. And so I will be involved with that, and we'll see what happens. We got a lot of things. We got to see what happens. Let's see. So we got the Strava data about cyclists. And this is from Natasha Grief, who writes for Bicycling Magazine. And this was published back on December 12th, 2022. So anyway, if you are Strava people that are out there, and I know a lot of us are, you'll get this Strava year in review from Strava and a record of your best annual stats from all your rides. Additionally, the data geeks over at Strava released an annual report of the global data that paints a picture of riding trends all over the world. Here are some of the highlights about our cycling lives collected on Strava this year. Okay. More of us are in it for the long haul. The illustrious hundo holds a different level of importance for every cyclist, from being a lighthearted training goal to a personal white whale to what's a hundo. Whatever it means to each of us as individuals, as a global whole, 22% more riders racked up at least one 100-mile century in 2022. In total, there was a 22% rise in cyclists on Strava who rode a 100-mile century this year.
Wow.
I was not one of them. So increase of in share of cyclists riding 100 miles. In Great Britain, the increase was 46%.
Whoa.
In France, it was 37%. In Spain, it was 25%. Belgium, 24%. The Netherlands, 18%. In the U.S., it was 12%. And in it's the Dutch.
That's Germany.
Germany. That's Germany. It was 4%. So that's from Strava. So that's kind of cool. So the commuting on e-bikes, is this the next big thing? I think it is. I think that there's going to be a huge burst in e-bike activity as people start figuring it out and start looking at their automobiles like the the tremendous waste of money that it is. Because hey, if you can ride a bike, and if you've already got just even a little bit of fitness, or maybe you have a lot of fitness and you hop on an e-bike, it's really not as much effort to get yourself where you need to go. And it's just another day that you don't drive the car, which is one of those things that I talk about at the end of my show every week. So the ride data shows that e-bikes continue to gain popularity with 26% more cyclists on Strava logging an e-bike ride in 2022. Commuters and older riders are leading the charge. E-bike rides are 30% more likely than non-e-bike rides to be a commute. In other happy bike commuting news, bicycle commutes nearly doubled to 2019 levels, with Tuesdays and Wednesdays being the most popular days of the week to commute by bike. Cool, huh? Isn't that great? So people are actually getting out there and using their bikes for transportation. Yay! About time, right? Good thing. It's a good thing. So the more of us that do this, of course, the better we are going to be as far as our health goes, the better we're going to be as far as the environment goes, and the less wasteful we're going to be of the natural resources that we have that are going away rapidly. So, yeah, ride your bike. Save the world. Save the world, ride your bike. Yeah, maybe I'll have to have a new catchphrase for 2023. Save the world. Ride your bike. So percentage of age groups with e-bike rides. So we're going to go from Gen Z all the way up to what they call traditionalists. And I'll tell you what that is in a minute. So Gen Z is 13 to 26 year olds. And we're looking at probably about 3%. Okay. Are doing e-bike rides. Millennials, the 26 to 41 crowd, about 4% are doing e-bike
rides.
So
remember, what you're looking at, this is not the population of all Gen Z. This is people on Strava.
This is people on Strava, right.
This is 3% of Gen Zers on Strava.
Right.
Did logged in one of their rides as an e-bike ride, whereas exactly. 4% of millennials on Strava logged in one of their rides, at least one of their rides as an e-bike ride.
And then we go to Gen X, and we're going up to about 6% on Gen X. That's a 42 to 57. So you're right on the border on that one. Baby boomers, 58 to 76 years of age. That's me.
Fit the definition of a baby boomer.
Only
by age.
Only by age. Yeah, you're right.
Because my parents were My mother was born in 1939. So when everybody came home from the war, she was six. So she couldn't have a baby.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
I am not part of the baby boom, the post-war baby boom.
Yeah, and my dad came home from the war and
had a baby.
And they popped
you
out.
Are literally
out
a baby
three
boomer.
Kids. Right, I am.
And I identify
I'm
with
the
Gen
real
Xers.
Deal. I was born in 1955. Can you believe that?
Yes,
I can't believe that. I just don't feel that old.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the baby boomers, age 58 to 76, that's the general consensus there, or the general age there. According to Strava, it looks like it was
10%. 10%, yeah.
Okay, 10%.
And you're one of them.
Our age group with e-bike rides.
Well, if you logged your e-bike ride on Strava, I don't know.
Yeah,
if you did.
I don't log my e-bike rides on Strava. I just ride my bike into town and back, and you know, I don't use it that much.
So you
actually,
you as a baby
don't,
boomer, did you're on Strava, but you didn't log your.
No, and there you go. Now there's another category for you.
Did
how many
happen?
Of you are on Strava? No, I doubt very much they have that. And then traditionalists, 77 plus. This is the age group of 77 plus. Look at this, almost 15%.
Yeah, 14%.
So, you know, friends like our friend Warren, who has discovered an e-bike and is now literally hurting his friends when he goes for rides with them on the hills. But he's riding his e-bike. He's riding his e-bike all over the place, and he's really enjoying it. And our friend Warren is a guy who has he is a runner who, you know, has run a lot over the years, a tremendous amount. And I think that, you know, as I've said before, you know, what do they call an old runner, Fran?
A former runner.
A former runner, right.
They call them a cyclist.
They call them a cyclist, yes. Right. Because they all end up moving in that direction because, you know, it makes sense. They still like to work out. They still like the idea of the fitness that they get from working out. And then they discover the bike and they go, well, wait a minute. This doesn't hurt as much. Yeah. Unless you're taking statins, and then it hurts a lot. But that's another story. That's another story for another day, for another time. So e-bike use by country. Guess where? Number one, China.
That's not China.
That's not China.
That's Switzerland.
That's Switzerland. I'm sorry. Yes, it is. It is. It's Switzerland. Look at that. That's amazing. So Italy is second. And Germany is third. Austria is fourth.
Yes.
Belgium is fifth. France is sixth. Spain is seventh. Australia is eighth. Great Britain is ninth. And the U.S. is number 10. So there you have it. That's and the numbers are not huge, but e-bike use by country is growing. Obviously, more so in Europe than any other place because they're just so far ahead of us as far as using bicycles for transportation. You know, we're in the dark about this here in the United States. But the fact that we were in the top 10 gives me some encouragement. So that's positive. That's totally positive. So, and this, again, these are Strava. This is all from Strava. It's better with friends. Together, we rode farther and stayed out longer in 2022, especially during the cold, dark winter months. According to the data, cyclists who rode with a riding buddy during the typically frigid month of January recorded a whopping 87% more active time than those who rode solo. Our group rides were also faster than our solo rides. That makes sense. Sure, part of this is that is undoubtedly a result of drafting, but we like to think that it was the community vibes that did it. So the next chart that they have here is distance and time of grouped activities versus solo. And yeah, there's a remarkable difference as far as this goes. So yeah. You know, if you're riding a group, you're going to go faster. That's typical. I don't know why that doesn't make sense. Of course it does. Even if you're not on a competitive ride, even if you're just out riding with some friends, you will typically ride a little bit faster in a group than you will when you're riding by yourself. Now, then there are those who will ride slower in a group than they do by themselves because they have a tendency, but we don't have this, of course, on Strava's information. But I tend to, if I'm going to go out and ride my bike by myself, I kind of beat myself up a little bit more when I'm riding by myself. When I ride with other people, I tend to chill it out a little bit. So it all depends on who you are and how you do these things. There are times when I'll just go out and cruise nice and slow all by myself, but I tend to be a little more impatient or anxious when I'm riding by myself for some reason. Don't know. When I'm riding with people, I'm just a lot happier. That's all. So that's why I like to ride with people more than not. So anyway, that I thought was kind of an interesting thing to talk about. And so here we are. We're going to talk about a few other things here today, too. And I'm going to go back now and I will mention the article that was in the Hartford Courant, because this is kind of disturbing news, but, you know, it's not unusual. I mean, we should know that this is normal, but it's terrible that it is normal. So anyway, this was from Mike Mavridakis on the 25th, Christmas Day, in the Hartford Courant. And the article, as I had stated earlier on Ron's rant, was pedestrian fatalities at the highest rate in Connecticut in over 3 decades. That's what the data says. There have been 66 pedestrian fatalities in Connecticut this year as of December 12th, most on record since the 76 recorded in 1988. According to the Department of Transportation. This year has been the deadliest for pedestrians in Connecticut since the late 1980s, according to the most recent Department of Transportation data. There have been 69 pedestrian fatalities in the state this year as of December 23rd, the most on record since 88, blah, 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 we already said that. But anyway, the Connecticut had 61 reported in 2021, but previously had not broken the 60 mark since 1994, when 63 were recorded. There's been also a 5-year high fatal crash this year with 323 through December 12th, which is 34 more than last year's 289. Of course, I'm reading through all these and I'm seeing absolutely no listing of bicycle-related fatalities or crashes, and which I'm sure is yet another statistic. And I hope at some point that gets recorded too, because it's really important. I do mention the pedestrians though, because it's, you know, we tend to fall in around the same numbers as the pedestrians are, which is kind of scary, but that's really what it is. It's just, there's an uptick in drivers who are hit outside their vehicle. It's just people are not paying attention. That's what it comes down to. The cars are incredibly safe. They're built to withstand impact, whereas when you're outside the vehicle, you have no protection. It's just you. The DOT, let's see, where did I put here? She advises drivers to pull off the roadway onto the shoulder and away from traffic. And anyway, scary. The DOT recommends that drivers place their hazard lights on in accident situation so other drivers can see them and give them room. In the case of fire or fumes coming from the vehicle, the department recommends you get away from your car. That's obviously, but anyway, the big thing is put down the cell phone. Stop paying attention to all the garbage that's flying across the screen in the front of your car. I don't know how you can do that, because the cars are being built to be deadly by design. Even though they're built to be protective to those that are inside of them, the distraction factor it's not being included in the design of the vehicles. It's just not being included at all. And that's just a horrible thing. You see people all the time just drifting side to side out of their lanes on the road. If you're driving a motorized vehicle, even if you're not and you're on your bicycle, you can see them and you can feel them, which is going to bring me into something I am going to bring up here in just a moment, because while I was riding this year, and especially while I was attending the Farm to Fork Fondos that I help out with Renegade Sports, I'm finding more and more people that are on those rides are starting to use the rear detection systems that are available now on the on your bike. And so I was, I may, wait, Franny stepped out on me here, so she's missing out on this, but I had put something on my holiday gift-giving list because I would like to try this out. What I was noticing was that while I was, a couple of times I was actually a SAG vehicle or a following vehicle for these particular events, and so my vehicle being the SAG vehicle and following behind these groups, small groups of riders, I would often rapidly approach them because I had been, you know, I pulled over to give them directions or to stop traffic at an intersection, and then I had to get back in the vehicle and chase them down. And boy, the rear flashing lights are amazing. The way they detect you approaching them from the back, and it's just really, really cool, because as I would get closer to the group of cyclists, I would see they'd have their little flashing lights on the back, but as you got closer to them and came up on them at a high speed as you were catching back up, the lights flash really fast. And until you've seen that, you know, many of you may have these on your bicycles already, so you don't realize just how they look to a person in a car behind you. But I can tell you they are very effective. They really like catch your eye as you're getting closer. So Fran was kind enough to get me one of these, and I probably shouldn't show the brand because we're not endorsing brands here or anything, because there are other brands out there. But I'm really looking forward to putting this little detection unit on the back of my bike, because I just think they're the coolest thing out there. And I have a number of friends who are now using them. And they say that it actually shows up on their computer screen too, and they can actually see as cars are coming up behind them. So I'm psyched. I can't wait. And when I finally get it onto the bike and the roads thaw out enough up here to allow me to get back out and ride my bike on the road, then I will give you guys a report about how I feel about the rear detection units that are now available for bicycles. I think they're really cool. I think it's a great idea, because I know that the cars are not paying attention, and it's a shame that I should have to pay additional attention, but I'm psyched to do it. I am also a huge believer of a mirror now on my bike, and I never used to be. Because I was one of those, you know, prickly old bicycle racer guys that didn't want to put any stupid mirror on my bike. I ride, all my bikes have mirrors on them now. I really think that it's just become a tragically difficult world to ride your bike anywhere near any kind of traffic now. So even if you're on quiet country roads like we have, and yeah, so anyway, Billy says, shut up and drive. I agree.
That's a good song.
Shut up and drive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shut up and drive, 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 drive. Shut up and drive.
Is it really a song, or did you just make this up?
No, it's Rihanna. It's a great song.
Okay. Don't know that one.
Yeah, I'll play it for you.
And it looks like Kevin says that he had a Garmin radar a couple years, got a Garmin radar a couple years ago, and he loves it. Nice to know how close the cars are getting to you. Yeah, that is kind of cool. And of course, Fran has, if you're watching this on Facebook Live, she just gave you the post for the Shut Up and Drive song. Very funny. Oh boy, you guys are just, you guys have too much time on your hands. Anyway, so the increasing technology with the vehicles is good. The pedestrian and bicycle detection software that they're starting to put into the cars is good, but it still does require the driver of the vehicle to be looking forward and paying attention to what they're doing, which is driving their vehicle. Just makes me nervous, that's all. So I'm going to fight their technology with my technology and see what this does, and I'll let you guys know a little bit more about that. Another nifty little thing that Franny got me for my holiday present is she got me these little guys right here. And if you're listening to this, you can't see these because this is on video. But what it is it is an a rechargeable electric insole foot warmers. So I'm excited to try those because it doesn't seem to matter. Shoe covers, booties, they just don't like cut it for me. I need something a little bit more on my feet. I've solved the problem with my hands by using bar mitts because I think bar mitts are just the best thing out there as far as keeping your hands warm. But my feet never stay warm. So this was a direction that I really wanted to try out. And I'll give you a report on that too, because it's always nice to have warm feet. And if they really work, I will I'll pass on the information to you and let you know how that works. But anyway, this Connecticut thing is really alarming to me. It's unfortunate, and I hope that we can get this resolved. And the pedestrian fatalities are really a shame. You know, we know people out there that have had trouble with cars and vehicles, and the right-hand turn thing is a classic where they'll make a vehicle make a right-hand turn into you even though you're in a bike lane, and they'll just cut it way too short and not be able to see you because of the size of the vehicle. Laura Mullally can be certainly a witness to that one. And it's really a shame that we don't have better safeguards out there for people on bicycles. But we're getting better. We're gonna get better. We're going to. This was just not a good few years, that's for sure. So I'll always be reporting on this, whether it be pedestrian or whether it be cyclist, because as far as I'm concerned, vulnerable users are vulnerable users, no matter how you look at it. And we're all kind of in the same boat in the same game here. So anyway. All right, so we're going to move on to, what else did I have here on my little list of things that I wanted to talk about more in the show? We'll get back to that one in a second. Being seen after dark, I talked about this under the mechanical minute and safety tips and cycling tips. And how many times have I seen someone out either riding their bike or walking or running or whatever, and being that we live next to a large university, they're dressed completely in black and very, very, very hard to see. So it's just really important. And why someone that would be on a bicycle and have all this flashing equipment on their bike to keep the drivers distracted would not also wear something that is of high visibility, I'm still in the dark about, so to speak. I don't understand why they would be that way. But anyway, did you know that the most likely time to be struck and killed by a car in the United States is at dusk, dawn, or at night? Got that? Most likely. In 2014, 3 out of every 4 pedestrian fatalities happened in these types of poor light conditions. Is there something you could do to decrease the chances you, your friends, and your family members are safer when walking and biking at night? Do you think the types of clothes you wear could make a difference in how visible you are? Explore the science in staying visible and safe at night with this science project. What you discover might save someone's life. This is from a site called Science Buddies, and it's called Be Seen After Dark. What clothes keep you safe? So anyway, this is not a hard thing to do. So anyway, the material availability is, everything is readily available. The cost can be anywhere from, you know, a $20 to $50 range, basically not real expensive. Adult supervision is required when performing this test after dark. This is obviously set up for kids to learn more about this, but hey, we teach the kids teach the parents. That's the way this all works. And you study the distance from which a car can see a pedestrian wearing a dark shirt, a bright yellow shirt, a fluorescent yellow clothing, or clothing equipped with retroreflective strips. So, in 2014, 4,884 pedestrians died in car crashes in the United States, and 65,000 more were injured. In other words, on average, 13 pedestrians die in America in a traffic accident every day. That is about one every 2 hours. For injuries, this is one pedestrian every 8 minutes, which is about 180 per day. So not good at all. It's important to note that these accidents do not happen during happen regularly all throughout the day. It really tends to be dusk, dawn, and at night. And you know, I'm gonna relay an incident. Fran and I were heading off to my sister's out in West Hartford to go to Christmas on, you know, it was on Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. And we came to an intersection very close to our house, about a mile and a half away. It's one of the most deadly intersections in this area, and there have been a ton of fatalities there. And what has happened is they decided, because it had been such a dangerous intersection, that they would increase the width of the road there. And also, so they put two lanes in each direction, and they also added turn lanes. And they also added wide shoulders. Seems safer, right? The fatalities increased at that traffic light, not decreased, and have over the years. What's the reason? I'll tell you the reason in a minute, because we almost saw it when we were driving out. So we're a mile and a half into our journey, and we're getting ready to make a right-hand turn. In Connecticut, we can make a right-hand turn on a red light if it's clear. I thought about it. I almost did it. And then I went, nah, you know what? I just had a feeling that maybe it wouldn't be a really, really good idea. Good thing I had the feeling, because as the light was turning, I looked off to my left as I'm getting ready to make a right-hand turn. And here comes a car at full steam. I've got a green light. Okay, I can make a turn out onto this road. Here comes the car at full steam. Just completely ran through the red light, didn't even look. Didn't even look or stop or anything. Just zoomed right through. Now, it was at a time of day, and this is another thing to be very, very cautious of when you're out riding your bike. It was at a time of day when the sun is really low in the sky, and there could have been the possibility, give the benefit of the doubt to the driver, that the sun was in their eyes and they never saw the red light. But that is something that you need to take into account when you're riding your bicycle too, is that especially this time of year, because the sun sits a lot lower this time of year than it does normally at other times of the year. We just went through our shortest day just a few days back for the solstice. And, you know, that light is really blinding to people that are driving vehicles. In hindsight, they should slow down when the sun is sitting low in the sky and blinding them as they're driving down the road. But they don't. It's not human to do that. It's not a human nature thing. So anyway, Billy says he was hit at dawn. I remember when you were hit, Billy. I remember that well. I got the phone call from you. Yellow jacket, rear and front flashers, and you were hit at dawn. Yeah, you know, people don't pay attention when they get into a motorized vehicle. So this is another thing to be aware of also as you're riding your bicycle out on the road, is that people who drive motorized vehicles are only looking for other motorized vehicles, because the other motorized vehicle is the thing that could actually hurt them or kill them. So therefore, they are hyper aware of other motorized vehicles and not always aware at all of the non-motorized vehicle. So that is a reason why you were probably hit at dawn, Billy, because so no one was looking for you. They just never saw you in the first place. I'm a huge proponent of if you're going to play in traffic, you should play in traffic. Get out there where you can really be seen, because otherwise you will just be some distraction on the side of the road that is, you know, not really noticed. But anyway, so why are pedestrians so vulnerable during poor light conditions? That's the real question here. You probably know that camouflage makes you disappear in the background, but not being camouflaged, wouldn't that be enough to be more visible at night? No, because humans see objects because light that reflects off of an object reaches our eye. At night, there's very little light, so it's hard for us to see objects. Would some colors help get more light into our eyes so we could see them better? Materials with bright colors bounce off more light than dark colored objects do. Fluorescent objects send out visible light when high energy light shines onto them, and retroreflective material, often used as reflective material, bounces back all the light that shines onto it. And so fluorescent means that it uses higher energy light, basically. Mainly ultraviolet light. So in the science project, you rate how these different types of clothing work. Well, you know, this is not rocket science, folks. It's just very, very basic. If you're going to go out and, you know, play in traffic, unfortunately, you know, Billy found out the hard way, and he was reflectorized. He was visible. He was extremely visible. You're still taking your chances, so you do have to be super careful at those times of day, especially. Interesting, the fact that there's very, very few pedestrian or cycling hits, let's say, during the bright daylight hours, whereas it's really right around dusk and dawn where the real danger zone is. So that's it. Just don't put yourself out there if you can help it. You want to really go with more reflective clothing, reflective items, whatever you can do. You know, it's a tough call. I remember when I was using when I was commuting a number of years ago, back and forth to my bike shop, I used to have these reflective leg bands that I put around my pants leg to, you know, hold the pant in place so I could just ride my regular street clothes back home. And I had one of my customers came up to me a following day. He came up and he said, "Hey, was that you I saw riding your bike home last night on such and such a road?" And I said, "Well, yes, it was." And I said, "If it was about this time?" He goes, "Yeah, yeah." He said, "Hey, I gotta tell you," he said, "whatever you had around your feet, it was unbelievable. It was really like you could really see it from a long ways." So here's another one. If you're going to wear reflective bands around your ankles, make sure you continue to pedal. No coasting, folks. Just keep pedaling, whether it's, you know, just, you know, fake, you know, you're barely putting any pressure on the pedals or not. You want to keep those legs moving, because keeping those legs moving really makes a difference. Because if you're using a reflective strip around your ankles are going up and down and up and down and up and down. So it creates a really interesting pattern of light, and it's moving and it's distracting. And like I said, the customer at my bicycle shop noticed it right away and said it was just outstanding how much he could see. So, you know, better than just a reflector, better than just even a light in the back that's flashing, which we didn't have back then. That was it was not all the rage as it is now, where we have lots and lots of those available. So anyway, you know, this is what you need to do. You need to use more reflective objects, more bright fluorescent colors, whatever it takes to do it. And please, please be careful. And as I have said over and over and over again, roads with names, not numbers. Stay off the main roads. Stay off those big, wide-shouldered safe roads, because they're not. They're not safe at all. They're the worst. In my world, I find them to be far more dangerous. So anyway, you know, you want to just be super, super careful about that. Good morning, Maria. Thank you for joining us. So, you know, it seems like it's common sense, and it probably is common sense, but, you know, anyway, we keep repeating these things over and over again, I know, but that's what it is. So let's go on to this federal bill, federal funding bill that contains $45 million for new active transportation program. I also know that there was some money that was earmarked here for the state of Connecticut too, and I will try to bring up some more information about that next week on next week's show to let you know a little bit more about that. But as part of a $1.7 trillion Consolidated Appropriations Act, the House Appropriations Committee announced it would finally fund new active transportation infrastructure investment program established under the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, which will use discretionary grants to help U.S. communities address dangerous gaps in their bike lane, sidewalk, and multi-use trail networks. That great news was soured slightly, though, by the dollar figure attached to it. Though Congress has the authority to give the active transport program up to $200 million a year for the next 5 years, the funding bill would grant it just $45 million for the fiscal year of 2023, which is less than 10% of the annual $500 million advocates initially had requested. So to put it all in perspective, communities seeking to build new infrastructure using funds from the new program rather than applying for planning grants, which the Active Transportation Infrastructure Investment Program will also fund, will need to submit projects with total costs in excess of $15 million. That means that just three communities could consume an entire pot of funding if their poverty rates were high enough to meet the criteria for a 100% federal share. And that's not even taking into account the administrative costs of running the program itself. So, anyway, despite that blow, Rails to Trails Conservancy spokesperson Brandy Horton called the news a major victory for trail and active transportation networks that will kickstart the long overdue program and hopefully prompt a deluge of applications that will inspire Congress to give the Active Transportation Program more money next year. Remember, the more you submit, the more you ask for, the more they have to pay attention to what we all need out there. And that's something that a lot of people forget about, and they go, I'm not going to get any of that, so I'm not even going to apply. No, wrong answer. You want to apply, you want to hop on it, you want to stay on it, and make sure you make yourself loud and make yourself clear as to what your intentions are and what you want to do. Remember, as I say at the end of the show, positive beats negative every time. When you go to your town and you talk about this, you need to go at it with a real positive outlook and explain to them exactly what it means to your community. So it's all good stuff. So, you know, it's $45 million. It's not a tremendous amount. It's a lot of money. You know, maybe we can get something out of this. So we'll pay attention to it as it goes along and find out what happens. If you want more information on this, I get a lot of my information from Streets Blog. That's streetsblog.org. You can go there and you can see lots and lots of information about bicycling, walking, transit, car culture, micromobility, and mobility justice. And you can check that out online. So great site. Love it. Love what they do for us. Love the information they give us. It's all very, very good stuff. So if you're into advocacy, this is certainly a place you want to pay attention. And I would say that the information they have there is pretty accurate as far as that goes. So that would be a direction to take a look at. And then you can go to you know, your town meetings or your local community meetings, whatever it is, and you can go there armed with some really solid information that will impress a lot of people, because a lot of people just have no idea about what we see when we're out there on our bicycles. I begin every presentation that I make, I always start with, and this is a standard, you can have it, share it with you, it's not It's not copywritten or patented or anything like that, but I always start my conversations with town officials and local public officials with, I'm here to talk to you about the roads and how we ride on them and how we drive on them. And I'm here to tell you that I see everything from the handlebars of a bicycle, not from the windshield of a motorized vehicle. And I'm going to guess, and I look around the room usually when I say this, I'm going to guess that most of you in this room see things as far as traffic concerns go from the windshield of a motorized vehicle. I said, and then I go on to invite them, if you ever want to join me, I can show you exactly how this works, because things are completely different when you're out there and not behind a motorized vehicle. So that's always the best way to connect with them, because they don't get it until you do. If you are fortunate enough to be able to coerce a handful of them to meet you on a bicycle and join you for a short ride around town in the areas, the critical areas that you're looking at that you need to resolve the problems with, that's an eye-opener. That changes the game completely. So my feeling is, if you're going to get into bicycle advocacy and you're really going to drive this thing forward, you've got to invite them to enter and visualize your world from what you are doing and on your bike. It makes a huge difference. Really, really does. So anyway, what else do I have here on the list? There's all sorts of great stuff going on out there. There's lots of cyclocross racing going on. There's all, I don't know if we're going to have time for this or not. That's a really good question. We have this great article that was produced by Bicycling Magazine that, if I don't have time to cover this completely, I'll at least get it started right now. But
We
should probably do it next week. Yeah, so you know what? Because we can focus on this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you what it is, and then we'll return back to it next week. But great article. It says, "What if we're all training too hard?"
Yeah, I have to read that article.
It's a great article. You should read that article. I read through it this morning, and I went, boy, oh boy, oh boy.
I just rode four days in a row. Not riding tomorrow.
Yeah, you rode 4 days in a row. You rode indoors. You rode on the trainer.
Yes, I did.
So, but, you know, the question is, did you recover from your rides that you were on?
I don't think I was recovered today, because I pushed myself yesterday. I had a very enjoyable ride yesterday with my buddies from the Bear Mountaineers. Yesterday, and today I rode with them again, and I couldn't hang on to save myself.
Yeah.
That should tell you something.
Yeah, well, there it is. It's not, you know, some people have the ability to ride really hard one day after another day after another day, but eventually it all catches up with you. It all catches up with you. So, well, we will talk about this next week. We'll talk all about what if we're all training too hard. It's a great New Year's show that we will have for that, because you can, you make your New Year's resolution around maybe riding smarter instead of riding harder. And we'll see where it goes there. That will be a discussion for next week. So let's talk just a tad before we close the show out here today. I'm going to talk a little bit more about New Year's resolutions, because we'll be more involved in them next week. Yeah. As we hit the New Year's, the new year, and we'll be into that. And we are going to be in the new year on next week's show. So have you made your resolutions? What are they? What would you like to see? Maybe, you know, I could throw some suggestions out there. Obviously, you know, riding our bikes is kind of a priority, and we really like to do that. And maybe our resolution is to become more fit. Maybe our resolution is to make an attempt at bringing one, you know, I'll throw some ideas out here at you. Bring in one new person per month to cycling. That's 12 people in a year. 12 people. Introduce 12 people throughout the year, whether it be a friend, family member, coworker, neighbor down the street, whatever it is. One a month. That's the goal. One a month. See what you can do. See how that works. My other goals, one of them that I talk about at the end of every show is that, you know, take one day out of the week and park the car and don't use it for transportation. Use your bicycle instead. Lots of things. So those are just a couple things just to kind of, you know, feed you with what is your New Year's resolution. If you have a New Year's resolution that you want that is pertaining to this program, Bicycle Talk and all, please post it on the Facebook page. I'd love to see what you've got. I'd love to read the comments and then I can read them out loud next week and we can talk a little bit more about it. So moving on, events. All right. It's winter withdrawal time. Get on your Zwift and kick some butt, even if it's your own, or try a spin class. Maybe it's time for yoga, maybe some strength training. You know, that's kind of an event thing we're getting into. May 17th, 2023 is a tentative date for the Ride of Silence this year in Storrs, Connecticut. And a big shout out to Kevin on that one because he is already on the planning stages of this. Kevin, you're awesome. You're awesome. It's not January yet. It's December and he's already on it. So Kevin, you get like big time flashing lights and stars and gold, whatever, who knows. But really, really cool. He's already started the communication. That's really cool. So we're going to have, I'm predicting that we're going to have the largest Ride of Silence we've ever had here in Storrs, Connecticut next year. So I'm psyched about that. And that is May 17th is the projected date for that, the tentative date. Let's see, what else we got here? MADE, a new industry and consumer bike event highlighting the craft of handmade bicycles, is going to be from August 24th to the 27th at the iconic Rose Quarter in Portland, Oregon. Yeah. The bicycle game is on right now in Hartford. And it's all on the early history of bicycles in Hartford. It's One Elizabeth Street, Hartford, Connecticut, at the State Historical Society. The UCI World Championships are going to be Saturday, February 4th, and end on Sunday, February 5th. That's it. Let's go. Finishing points. I didn't put them in, so they're all last week. So, but I can get my way through this. You know, the amount of people that are hurt or injured or killed when riding their bicycles or walking on the highways is really, really tragic. We need to bring this up more. We need to talk more to our town officials about it. We need to say goodbye to future traffic lights and hello to roundabouts. Let's figure out how to fix this. Road calming is the answer. I'll repeat that again. Road calming is the answer. Visual calming, the ability to not go through an intersection at over 20 miles an hour, makes all the difference in the world. So anyway, here we go. This is it. I'll say it again. It won't be my last time. Get loud, get active. Our time has come. Stop complaining about traffic, dangerous roads, the price of gas, and the lack of places to safely ride, and join the revolution of change. Remember, when you're presenting to your local governments, come with solutions, not complaints or problems. Positive beats negative every time. Please support your local bike shop. Respect one another. It's 2022, almost 2023. Initiate, participate, ride your bicycle, and tell everyone you know. And finally, take on the Pedal and Ron Challenge. If you have a motorized vehicle, park it just one day and use your bike. You might surprise yourself. The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. You have been listening to Bicycle Talk with my co-host, Fran Storch. We talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. You can listen to past episodes on whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast outlet. If you want to contribute information, send me an email at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. This is Pedal and Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. It really could save your life. This is WHUS 91.7 FM and WHUS.org. Thanks for listening. WHUS 91.7 FM and WHUS.org. Thanks for listening.